Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, welcome to the show, Women Lead Radio. I'm Deborah Simpson, and today my guest is Doris Spies. Doris is the author of The 30-Minute Guide to Talent and Succession Management and the Talent Review Meeting Facilitator's Guide, as well as Creative Onboarding Programs, which are all available on Amazon.com. Doris is also the co-author of Building Tomorrow's Talent, A Practitioner's Guide to Talent Management and Succession Planning. These books together are all top sellers on Amazon on the topics of talent and succession management. Doris is also an approved provider of the HR Certification Institute. She also works with organizations of all types, shapes, and sizes, and in various countries to assist experienced HR professionals as they plan, execute, communicate, and measure talent review and succession strategies. Doris enjoys training and coaching HR teams to facilitate talent review succession plan meetings and views multiple training options for your HR team to plan and facilitate talent succession meetings. Doris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deb.
It's nice to have you here today. Can you, just for the listeners who may not be aware of a phrase as succession planning, can you kind of give an overview of how you work with HR professionals? I think we understand a lot about talent management, but not so much about succession planning.
Sure. And actually, I work both with HR professionals. Most often I do, but sometimes I also work with executives on their own succession plans. So I work with organizations, small, large, profit, nonprofit, government, non-government, really every organization should have succession plans. Basically, a succession plan is risk management for your talent. So being proactive about preparing for people leaving the organization, because eventually everybody will leave the organization. So we want to have a plan in place. Who could be ready to move into that position? How do we develop those people so they are ready? And if we simply just don't have any internal successors, should we have other plans to document knowledge, share knowledge, and even bring in an external candidate sooner? So I'm basically helping to organizations to prepare proactively for talent loss as a risk management business function.
Is that talent loss at any level?
Well, we normally work with on positions for senior executives and also for key experts. Some organizations first identify their most critical positions, and we work on succession planning for those job roles, especially large organizations, because we just can't cover every position. So in some organizations, for example, they would make sure that they have succession plans for all directors and above or all VPs and above, so they have a cutoff level. But it's also important to have succession plans for individual contributors who are in key expert roles, because often they are the ones who have so much knowledge that you don't want to lose.
And how long has succession planning been around? Is that something that's been pretty standard in business, or is that something that's come on in the past, 10, 20 years?
It's been around for probably more than 20 years, but I would say in the past 10 years especially, organizations are becoming more cognizant of it and understanding that it is a business risk management function to have talent and succession plans in place, especially as the baby boomers are retiring. It is important to see, what talent do we have to take on their positions and what development do they need to be ready for those job roles. But I've also found, I've been in business now for 10 years in this space, And I also find that this is important for what I call emerging talent, all the different XYs and millennial talents. It's important to them to have their managers discuss and plan career growth and development with them. They do not want to just kind of wait around for career growth. They want people to be actively planning that for them and with them. And so this whole talent review and succession planning process, I think, is also gathering speed because of that, as well as the baby boomer retirement issue.
A lot of industries have seen disruption due to technology. Do you see that? And when you're talking to them about their talent and their succession planning, does technology and the newer technologies come into play at all?
Definitely. So we're looking at each candidate. When I say candidate, I mean internal successor candidate's skills and experience and knowledge and what they need to be successful, not only for future roles, but also for their current roles and for technology advancement. So if we identify that a person needed some development in that area, we would put it as part of their development plan to be successful, again, both in their current role and for future succession positions.
Well, you spoke already about boomers and millennials, and it's kind of interesting. I know that we're going through a change to corporate structure because of the millennials and how different they are. When you're walking into a organization and looking at their talent pool, how are you seeing the millennials and the boomers working together?
That is an excellent question, Deborah. It depends on each individual, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know everyone out there who's listening has seen situations where, you know, these generations are struggling to understand each other. So I would say the key to it is just working to understand each other's differences. And probably, you know, even though we're experiencing these generation gaps right now, I'm sure, you know, in many years and decades past, this has always been an issue where, you know, different generations just have different viewpoints because of how they were raised and what was going on as they were growing up and moving through their career. So, I mean, the whole key is just working to understand the other perspectives of the different generations.
Are boomers tending to stay longer? I'm just thinking about my husband and how he's staying on longer. And part of that is because I don't think his company has a succession plan in place. And they're trying to figure that out right now since he's one of their only sales guys. So I'm wondering if are boomers impacting this transition by choosing to stay on longer rather than retiring earlier?
Yes, we are seeing that. You know, I do see people who are working well past, you know, what we would consider standard retirement age. I usually use 65 is what we call retirement eligible. We want to make sure that we never assume someone is retiring, so we always say they would be retirement eligible. Therefore, it becomes a more critical position for succession planning. But you're right that many more people, I think, than in the past are working past that, some for financial reasons and some because, you know, that's kind of their life and what they enjoy, and they just like to have that purpose.
Mm-hmm. And then also I'm seeing not only with the advancement of technology, because I'm definitely in a technology sphere. I've been in a technology-based business for a long time. So when I look now at some of the disruptors coming into different industries, for instance, looking at Lyft and Uber drivers are now disrupting the taxi industry.
Right.
Look at how Netflix, Hulu, and the online streaming are disrupting the cable industry. Are you seeing disruptors to the corporate environment that you have to take into consideration when you're helping corporate professionals with these transitions?
Another excellent question. I am not really seeing that in the work that I do because my work is more individualized, and we're thinking about, you know, what positions are you going to need in the future and the knowledge and competencies needed. And to me, what you described is more what the business needs to be aware of. And to, you know, so to me, that's a business strategy to make sure that they are aware of and proactive about marketplace changes, economy changes, technology changes. And so, you know, honestly, I pretty much depend on them to run their business and to be aware of those things. And then we take that information and translate it into the talent needs. How does, you know, so if we do see a marketplace or technology change, how will that translate into knowledge and skills needed for the talent? And how does that translate for successor candidates to be ready for these new roles? So I'm really working more at the talent level and depending on the business to be aware of those types of issues.
They really do have to think about a lot more than they had to think of 15 years ago. I can imagine just with all of, just looking at how corporations have had to deal with the influx of technology. I was in technology right in the beginning when we were building our very first websites for corporations, and I worked at McGraw-Hill with their school textbook division, and seeing all the changes that come about when we got internet technology, and how are they I'm assuming they're looking down the road in the future as to what technology can help them do, because you've got to be busy, and corporations must be really busy having to figure out what that next new technological revolution will be and how it will impact their business and the type of people that they choose to employ. We didn't have those things 15 years ago that we had to think about, right?
Well, to some extent, yes, and to some extent, no. I mean, I'm thinking about Blockbuster and Kodak, for example, as examples of companies who quite a while back did not was not proactive about those types of changes, right? So, but you're right. Another example of where I'm helping them to think ahead is things like global expansion or even just domestic expansion. When they do that, now we're looking at, okay, you're either going to have to make sure you have talent, you know, in the area where you're hiring, or we need to know about relocation abilities for your employees. We need to look at how do we prepare employees for knowing cultural differences and how to work globally. So these would be skills that we would be looking at to prepare leaders for career growth, for succession.
How did you get interested in this field, and how do you keep up with all the changes that we're all facing as we move forward?
Well, I was doing this type of work in corporations, and in fact, I won't name the one company that was doing this really well more than now it's been, my gosh, probably 15 years ago, they were already doing this well. It was a telecommunications company, large global company. And so there are organizations that have been doing this for 10 to 20 years. When I say this, I mean corporate succession planning and discussing talent in talent review meetings. So I was fortunate that I worked for organizations that were doing this. So I've always been in really organizational development, leadership development, and so, but being part of those organizations certainly sparked my interest, and I could see that most organizations at that time, again, when I started my business 10 years ago, were not doing succession planning either at all or not very effectively. So I saw it as a business opportunity and something that, you know, I was very, very interested in. And I stay up to date by reading and, you know, just simply also working with people around the world. And it's also interesting when I travel, I try to always read their newspaper to get the, you know, to find an English newspaper in the country where I'm located. You can really learn a lot that way, that's for sure. They have totally different perspectives and totally different information.
Yeah, I bet. And then you have to tailor these individually, right? When you're working with a specific entity, you have to go in there and sort of customize the program for them?
Absolutely. So when I started my business, I naively thought that I could have kind of a template and similar to what I used in when I was in the corporate world and just kind of, you know, apply that all over. And that is not true at all. So, there are definite differences in government organizations. For example, universities have their own issues because of tenure of professors and so forth. Nonprofits have their own issues. Every organization is so different, whether they're just domestic or they're global, and how many offices do they have, because that relates to relocation. So I've certainly discovered that that there is no cookie-cutter approach, and so it does have to be customized for each client. And when I teach people, I do workshops on this topic, and I tell people there are some wrong ways to do things, and there are some legal issues to factor in, but there's also actually a lot of right ways to do succession planning as well. And so we discuss options and advantages and disadvantages of each options. And each company has to make their own decisions about some of the tools and processes that they're going to use.
And let's just take a moment now, and will you share with the listeners how they might be able to get in touch with you if they're in need of your services?
Yes, so you can do a search on LinkedIn or on the web and I would do Doris Sims Spees. So I got married about a year and a half ago and changed my name. So and my website is www.talentbenchstrength.com, or you can do successionconsultant.com or DorisSims.com. So any of those options will work.
All URLs point to one, right?
Yes, they do.
I know that well. So why don't you, can you share with us what was maybe one of your most challenging discussions about succession planning with a CEO that you had to come in and really kind of help them understand things more?
Well, the first thing that I'll do, maybe a couple. The first that comes to mind was a CEO of a small organization, about 100 employees, and he was trying to find a successor for himself. And so we discussed some of his candidates. So first of all, you need to put together a success profile for the CEO's position. You know, what knowledge, skills, and abilities are needed, not only internal knowledge, skills, and abilities, but external knowledge, skills, and abilities. And one successor that he was considering, he said, would be qualified and, you know, probably ready for the position except for one thing, and that was he wasn't as financially savvy as he needed to be. And but the bigger issue was that the person, the successor candidate, did not feel like that was a weakness. And I told the CEO that actually is the biggest weakness of all, is if the person does have a blind spot about something that they are not as good at. I feel it's one of the most important attributes of successor candidates, that they are aware of their strengths and how to leverage them effectively and what their blind spots or weaknesses are, to become more aware and to make sure that they have people around them that can help compensate for those weaknesses, because all of us have strengths and all of us have weaknesses. So that's one thing to understand. And I think the other thing to understand is you just can't just put names on the list and say, here's our succession plan. That's just not succession planning. It has to include discussions about strengths, weaknesses, the interests of the employee, and you know, how we can develop them to get them ready for position. So it requires discussions and ongoing work to really make the succession plan effective.
And when you're doing succession plans, have you had one that's been just an incredibly rewarding experience that you wish all of your interactions when it comes to succession planning and working with talent would be like?
Yes, I remember a specific talent review. So a talent review meeting is just managers getting together, and they have some preparation work that they've done ahead of time, and they're discussing different successor candidates, for each of them who could move cross-functionally and or be successors to themselves, and making sure that they all agree on that together and coming up with development action plans together. This strengthens the process. It reduces the halo effect, which is this person is great and has no development needs, and the horn effect, which is this person, even though they're great at many things, they made me mad last week. So we're trying to reduce those types of issues. So I remember a talent review meeting. It was the first time the company was doing this, and some managers came in the room, and they might as well have had signs on their head that said, I do not want to be here. I have way too much to do. This is just ridiculous. But as we started having the talent review discussions, everything started changing. They started to see the value of it. For one thing, the information that we're discussing in the talent review meetings can also be used by managers for performance reviews and career and development discussions with employees. So they don't have to figure this all out. We're working on it all together. And so they started to see the value of it, and they wanted to keep talking about more and more people. And we actually ended up staying until 8 o'clock that night. And it wasn't because I wanted to be there. It was because they became that excited about the process that I've never seen. I mean, there's often some transformation from the start to the end of the meeting where people see the value, but I've never seen one that was this significant.
And then this is something that you've taken on as a speaker as well, going out and speaking to conferences about the need for talent management and succession planning. What type of conferences do you usually enjoy speaking to?
Well, I do most often speak at HR conferences, but I've also spoken at Renaissance groups for executives. Of course, I speak to companies. I speak to the executive teams of companies. I train the HR teams of companies, so specifically, at their corporate site and just people from their companies. Sometimes I speak at large conferences, sometimes small conferences, just really just a big variety.
And do you have a couple of training programs? You mentioned that you do a lot of training at corporations.
Right. I do usually 3 or 4 public 2-day workshops a year, and these are really appropriate for HR professionals because we go into a lot of detail about how to plan the strategy and all the details to execute and the strategy for succession planning. So my next one actually is coming up in Dallas on February 27th and 28th and is on my website at www.dorissims.com.
That's cool. So you're going to Dallas in 2 months.
Yep.
Then do you travel to any of the other states?
Well, so I'm platinum, and I've been a platinum on America.
so that would be more often than I wish I had to.
Right.
Do you see any disruptions coming to trainings like that as we move more to using online tools for training?
I do actually have an e-learning course on it, but honestly, Deborah, the main reason I provide that is because some people who aren't going to be, really involved in the project, but they need awareness. That's a good course for them, or people in other parts of the world where I may not be traveling to, or they're in different time zones. We do that. I also do live webinars, which I think is much better than the e-learning option. But I do think that people who are going to be responsible for planning the succession strategy, the tools, the metrics, and who will be facilitating talent review succession meetings, that they need to come to the live workshop and see, examples of how to do it. We do role plays, we do exercises, and the groups themselves, the talent review meeting. And I'm sorry, you just can't get that from e-learning. You just can't. Plus, they really enjoy the networking and sharing ideas and challenges with each other. And I think there's also a great value in the participants meeting and sharing with each other, and many of them connect and in the workshops, and they continue to, benchmark and help each other out on an ongoing basis. And I just think that's, so valuable.
And what do you see the future of succession planning and and talent retention as we move, like you said, we're moving out of a phasing out a whole generation. In fact, one of the largest generations we've had in the history of the country, to moving out boomers and, you know, you're sort of more, a little bit more attention paid on millennials because they are up and coming and they're really in tune to a lot of the new trends that we're experiencing that we baby boomers, and I'm one of them, would have never thought we would have experienced.
Right. So the future for the corporate succession and talent review process and strategy, to me, it's going to become more and more just a standard practice in organizations. So that more and more people now have job titles. In the past 10 years that I've been doing this as my own business, there are more and more people every year that have job titles such as succession specialist or you know, talent review facilitator or talent development director, those types of things. And so it's becoming more and more just part of normal business process as opposed to, hey, we're not doing this, maybe we should be doing this. And so I do see more and more companies having this as part of their normal strategy and process. So I think that trend is going to continue. It just, it seems to take a long time sometimes for these things to take hold, but I think over time it will just be a normal practice within HR and organizational structures to have this in place.
And as we wind down our time this morning, let me ask you my last question that I like to ask. What should I have asked you about this that I didn't ask you?
The only thing I would add, because you ask great questions, and the only thing I would add is that every organization should be doing this. It doesn't matter if you are a one-person business or if you have 5 people or 100 people, 1,000 people, 100,000 people. And actually what I tell organizations is the smaller the organization, the more important the succession plan is, because each person in the organization is a larger percentage of contributors to the organization. So if one person leaves in a 5-person company, you know, obviously the percentage of that loss is much greater than one person leaving in a 100,000 organization. And many times in a small organization, one employee wears multiple hats. So you're not only trying to replace a person with one skill set, but often with multiple skill sets. And succession planning looks different in small companies because obviously you don't have the pipeline of talent that you do in the larger organizations. So it's more things like documenting what people know and do, because oftentimes the information is in their head, cross-training people, having them job share, having them switch each other's jobs, and not just for long-term succession planning, but even for short-term things like covering for vacations or sick time or short-term leaves. So that's what I would emphasize, is that this is important for every organization and to really think of it as a risk management function for your business, just like we have risk management for finance and for, you know, IT data safety issues. We need to make sure that we have risk management for our people.
That's excellent. Well, Doris, it's been wonderful to talk to you today, find out a lot more about a topic that I'm not as informed in, being a solopreneur, and my exit strategy is different than the exit strategies you work with. So I do appreciate you taking the time out today and being one of our leading ladies on Women Lead Radio.
Thank you, Deborah.
I'm Deborah Simpson, host of Speaking with Influence. Thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of speaking with influence. Remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships.
For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.